Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may truly be wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's passage is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today I'm going to be aiming my message toward the men out there among us. But ladies, you pay attention too, because I think there's certainly some takeaways for you in our message today. And ladies, if I say something today that you want your man to hear, you just give him a good elbow in the ribs, okay? All right, wake him up, make sure he's paying attention and listening. Guys, let me ask you a question. If your 18-year-old self met you today, what would he think? What would he think? Would he see a man who is growing, who's trusting God, taking on new challenges, making a difference? Would he look at you and say, "Where did your hair go?" Or might that 18-year-old self look at you and think, well, here's somebody whose life just seems to be on autopilot. Maybe they're settling a little bit too much. Guys, men can be successful on the outside. We can have all the looks of success. We work hard. We pay our bills. We fulfill our responsibilities that we have to our family and to those that we take care of. But yet, inwardly, we can feel stuck. We can feel disconnected, exhausted, or spiritually, we can become passive. Listen to how God created the first man. Way back there in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You see, Adam was just a lump of clay, just dirt, soil God scooped up from the ground until God breathed into him the breath of life. Take a breath. If you're like me, you got to do it more through the mouth than the nose today. Breath of life. What we need today, I believe, is not simply better fathers and husbands, workers and church members, but what we need is for God to breathe his life into us. That's what we need today. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 that we reap what we sow. And if that's true, then what kind of harvest do we want our lives to produce? I believe that men can be fully alive when they sow three things. And I'm going to give them to you today. First is take risks. take risks.
Taking risk
is not about being reckless.
But
risk is simply stepping into uncertainty while we're trusting God. You see, risk takes faith. And taking steps of faith oftentimes require us to take a risk. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, that's how we live our Christian life. We don't get to see the whole path that's ahead of us. Our life isn't just all revealed to us at one time. But rather, we step with faith as God leads us. Abraham did that when he left his home. Peter did that when he stepped out of a boat. Paul crossed oceans. He endured hardships, beatings. He survived shipwrecks. And he kept preaching the gospel. You see, every significant act takes faith. And it requires risk. 2 years ago, our church took a significant risk, didn't it? We stepped into an uncertain future, became an independent church, because we believed that God's mission was worth it. And so we took a huge risk, and it cost us. It cost us financially, it cost us some friends along the way. But faith always requires us to step into uncertainty before we know exactly how things are going to turn out. And I think we're doing pretty well because we took risk and we had faith in God. We did that as a church, and we can do that personally as well. Maybe your next step is praying out loud with your family. Maybe that's your next step of faith you need to take, men. Maybe it's asking forgiveness of someone that you've wronged or mistreated. It could be you need to seek out counseling. You need help to be a better man. It could be sharing your faith with somebody that's important in your life. Just having the courage and the boldness of initiating the conversation. Maybe even just saying, "How can I be praying for you?" For some of you, it means responding to that nudge that God has been kind of pushing on you a little bit. Respond in faith. Have courage. Trust God. When was the last time your faith required courage? Courage. Many men have lost their excitement of following Jesus. And I believe one of the reasons why is because they're no longer taking risks. The breath of God that fills our lungs, the Spirit of God that energizes our souls, pushes us out beyond our comfort zones. But taking one risk alone isn't enough. A fully alive man is built through daily faithfulness. And that leads me to the second thing I want to mention to you. Fully alive men, not only do they take risks, but they also do hard things. Hard things. Paul says in that passage in Galatians we heard from a moment ago, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." The harvest belongs to those who stay with it. When I was a kid, I learned to ride a bike
at my grandmother's house. She had this steep driveway that led down to the street. And I remember the very first time a cousin put me on a bicycle that was probably three times bigger than I needed and pushed me down that hill. Oh, yeah. It was a bit, they got a big kick out of it. But I remember it very well. I ended up with a few scrapes and bruises. But over time, I was able to learn to pick that bike up when I fell down, and I would push it back up the hill. You know, it was just a little hill, but to a kid, it was so big, and I didn't have the strength to get up it. And I remember that summer, I did that all day long, it felt like. I'd coast down that hill, the wind blowing in my face, stop at the bottom before I got into the street, and push the bike back up the hill and do it all over again. A few weeks ago, I was participating in a bucket list item. I went to Knoxville, Tennessee area and participated in a challenge, a bike challenge. 115 miles in the mountains in western or eastern Tennessee and North Carolina. And I climbed 10,000 feet of elevation. And the challenge was to do it in under 7 hours. I'd done it a few years ago and I didn't get anywhere close to it. I had to get off and rest going up some of those big mountains. But I trained this year and I went and I competed in this and I got the medal. Yeah. It was on my bucket list. It's called the Dragon Slayer Medal. And you have to finish this course in under 7 hours. And I did it in 6 hours and 42 minutes. How about that? Yes. The connection between those two moments. Imagine that kid pushing that bicycle up the driveway. And now as a man climbing a 4,000-foot mountain on a bike. The difference between those two moments wasn't just one workout or even a week of riding the bike. It was years of showing up, doing hard stuff. The weeks of training that went on before this bike ride was pretty grueling. I decided I wanted to go climb the highest points in the states around us. So I went to Arkansas, climbed Mount Magazine, 8 miles straight up the side of a mountain. I went to Alabama and climbed Cheehaw Mountain. Did it three times in one day, just climbed it back and forth. You see, it takes to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. It means doing the hard things over and over again. That's how growth happens. Doing hard things, it means showing up faithfully where God has called you to show up. In your marriage, showing up, doing hard stuff. In your family, sacrificing for your kids. At your work, putting in the effort, putting in the hard work to be successful. In your spiritual life, it means showing up in God's presence over and over, even when you don't feel like it. Do the hard things. Guys, you can do it. Love your wife today. Have the conversation with your child today that you've been putting off. Do the small things with excellence today. Read scripture, pray, serve, worship, show up, not occasionally, but consistently. The life that you want is usually found on the other side of doing the hard thing. Don't forget that. But there's one more thing that keeps men from becoming fully alive. We can take risk, we can do the hard stuff, and we can still remain stuck. Fully alive men They own their stuff. They own their stuff. That's the last thing, the third thing. To become fully alive, men must take responsibility for their lives instead of hiding or making excuses or blaming other people. You got to own your own stuff. I want to confess something to you. One of my greatest fears as a man has been losing my hair. Oh, yeah. Guys, I see the bald heads out there. Much respect. Got great shaped melons up there, real round and shiny. My head does not look like that. In college, I let some guys in my dorm one day buzz cut it down real tight, you know what I mean? And I walked around campus for 2 weeks with my head down. And so I've always been afraid of losing my hair. My grandfather was bald, and you know what they say, it skips a generation, right? So all my life I've been hoping I wouldn't win the growing bald lottery. Well, thankfully, it looks like my brother won the lottery. He's been losing his hair for years, and finally, you know, like most guys do, he just said, ah, and just shaved the whole thing. But he got the good head in the family, so he looks pretty good. But what do guys do when they start losing their hair? When they start losing it up here, what do they start doing to the stuff over here? The old comb over, right? Yep, the old comb over. They take what they have left and they pull it all across the top, hoping that nobody else will notice, right? Well, everybody sees it. Everybody knows the only guy doing the comb over thinks he's fooling anybody. But every man, not just those losing their hair on top, has some comb over in their life. Think about it. Something they hide, something they make excuses about, something they blame everyone else for. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." What are some things we comb over? Our anger, our pride, an addiction, our bitterness, the habit of blaming. Guys, I want to tell you that growth in these areas, overcoming these things, pushing back against temptation. Growth begins when our excuses end. We got to own it. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus didn't ask us to hide anything from Him. But He invites us into the light. A man becomes fully alive when he stops pretending. You can't heal what you won't reveal. You got to bring it out before the Lord. And sometimes we have to talk to others about our struggles. We have to have accountability. We have to confess our sins when we come to the altar of the church. We have to be honest. We got to stop the comb-overs. Let's go back to Genesis as we wrap up. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. The answer for us today in being fully alive men isn't in just trying harder to be better? The answer is allowing God to breathe His life into us, to give us His Spirit. Paul reminds us that we reap what we sow. Men who sow courage, they reap a harvest of faith. Men who sow perseverance, guess what? They reap a harvest of character. And men who sow honesty, well, they reap a harvest of freedom and victory in their lives. So I come back to the question, what kind of harvest do you want your life to produce? Man, God didn't create you to just merely exist. He created you to come alive, to be a man who takes risks, who does the hard things, who owns your stuff, who sets an example for the other men, younger men in your life, who takes spiritual responsibility for your church and your family. And here's the good news. You don't become that man by your own strength. We do it by relying on the Lord. The one who breathed life into Adam is the same God who can breathe life and give energy back into your soul, into your spiritual life. The same God that breathed into that tomb that held the empty body of Jesus, the dead body, brings resurrection. The same God is at work within us. And Paul says God is working in us with His incomparably great power. He says that in Ephesians chapter 1. So take the risk. Do the hard thing. Own your stuff. Become the man that God is calling you to be. I need you to be that man so we can lead our church and lead our families and lead our community. Now, as I close out this morning, I want to take a moment just to offer some prayer for the men in our congregation today. So if you're a man and you're here and you're over 50, I want you to stand up for a second, please, if you're able. Over 50, hopefully it won't be all of you. All right. Younger men, ladies, look around. See these men. These are men who've laid foundations in our church, who are leaders in our church, in their families. These are the men we need God to just breathe on today, this morning. Just receive some strength from the God, some wisdom from the Lord, to know what risk you need to take and how you need to step out and be courageous for God on behalf of us. And so I want to just invite us to pray a prayer over these men. God, thank you so much for these men in our life, the ones who sacrifice and give faithfully to our church through their leadership and example. And God, for those men today that maybe have just been sitting on the bench a little bit more than they need to, God, I pray that you would let them know that you are not done using them. That God, we need these men to show strength of faith and courage, to have vision and boldness as we lead. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to now just infuse energy and freshness of faith into these men. God, speak to them and use them in powerful ways, Lord, to be an encouragement in their family, to their wives, to their mothers, to their children. Just receive the Holy Spirit, man. Just invite God's Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, you can be seated. All right. All the other men, it's time for you to stand up. All right, let's see how many we've got this morning. Come on, under 50. There we go. We see a few of them. Young men, come on. Look around. Now, if you're thinking we need more men in this category, you're right. You're right. We've got to encourage them. We've got to encourage them to be in church. We got to encourage them to take risks. But we also need to just give them encouragement to be men who are leaders in their families. In our church, we need you guys. We need you. And so I just want to pray for you and encourage you this morning. Let's pray. God, we want to pray for these men, our men under 50 today. I stand in that category, Lord. I stand with these men. These are my brothers. And God, we know that life is hard. It's hard raising a family, especially those that have young kids. Lord, it's hard as young men who maybe have had absent fathers, or maybe we've lost our dads. We don't have them with us anymore. We feel a little bit like a ship without a rudder sometimes. God, we need help. We need guidance and wisdom. We need you to help us to be these men that you want us to be. Courageous, faith-filled men. And God, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to rest upon these men. God, you know where they stand with you. And you love them. And you're still calling to them. Whether they feel like they've got much to learn, much to prove, or whether they feel like they've kind of made it. We all need you, Lord. We need your Spirit to breathe upon us. And God, we need these older men in our congregation to encourage us, to mentor us, to pray for us, to be there when we need a word of advice. We need someone to notice us, that what we're doing is important, that has significance. We need people to notice when maybe we're not doing what we need to do. And so God, I pray that you would help these young men to learn from the older men, and the older men to pour into these younger men. So come, Holy Spirit. Bless these men. Bless us, Lord. Renew your fire within us. Help us to care about the things that you care about, Lord. Use us, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys.
Guys, we want to thank you so much. When I say guys, I always use it like the folks living in Pennsylvania use it. It means all of you, okay? But we want to thank all of you for being in worship today and worshiping with us. And I hope you have a great day. And men, I hope y'all have a great day too. And you enjoy some good food and time with those that you love. And I want to leave you with this benediction from the book of Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever, Paul says. And let all God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless.